awesome worship. And oh my gosh, I'm so excited because those songs just really just bring us to the throne room of God this morning. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is just coming to God's presence and just hearing from Him, spending time with Him, and how important and how powerful and how amazing that can be. And believe it or not, I have all this junk food here, and I'm actually going to tie that into meeting with God. So you're all going like, how is she going to do this? So I have all these, as you can see, we've eaten a little bit of junk food in the past week or two, so I can have these props for my message this morning. So I have a pizza box here, and I have popcorn and McDonald's and Tim Hortons, and these are just some foods that we all like in my family. So these are kind of like comfort foods, and so I'm just going to ask, oh, and bread. Did you all smell the bread? Did it work?
Yes.
Did you smell bread when you came in? Do you ever walk into a grocery store and you smell bread and you're like, oh, that's good. Where's the bread? I got to buy some. Something about baking, just like, it gets those, you know, those little saliva things going. So for you guys, what is some comfort food that you would be drawn to that when you smell it, you have to have it? What would be some things for you? Just go ahead and yell them out.
Wendy's cooking.
No, Wendy's cooking. Okay. Thank you.
Bacon.
Oh, yes. Bacon and hamburger. Hey, like, those are the two meats that, like, they're just so random. But when you smell them, it's just like, oh, gotta have it. Anybody else?
Bacon and eggs in the morning.
Bacon and eggs in the morning. Shem's like, oh, my gosh. Anybody else?
Barbecue.
Cake. Sorry, I missed that one.
Barbecue.
Oh, barbecue. Yes. Something about a barbecue. All right. So this morning, the title of my message is How Hungry Are You? So after this message, you're all going to be running to get pizza and barbecue and cake and bacon and all these kind of things. So yeah, when you smell those things, you have this instant hunger. I have a thing about movie popcorn. And I could go to, you know, have this full-on blown meal, like, I'm telling you, like, stuff food into you, like, there's no tomorrow. And then we'll go to the movie theater, you're walking in like this, couldn't fit another thing in if I tried. But the second I smell movie popcorn, I am like, I will have a large bag myself. Like, I don't know where I can stuff it in, but there's something about movie popcorn smothered in butter. I always have extra butter. I tell them I do, but I'm very specific. I don't just say extra butter. I say, fill the bag halfway, put some extra butter. I know, I'm weird, right? And then, you know, it's like you gotta have it all the way through. And then I have another thing, which Daryl always laughs at me. Is he in here? He's not in here. Oh, is he? I'm very specific that you're not allowed to touch the popcorn until the movie starts. So, you know, you got like 10 minutes of commercials and you're smelling that popcorn and it's just like you're getting so excited to eat the popcorn. And then the movie starts and it's like, okay, we can eat now. Okay, so foods like this makes our taste buds go crazy. We're like just dying with anticipation to eat it, and it's hard to resist. Another thing I have, obviously, is pizza. I love pizza and pasta. Oh my gosh, I could eat pasta every day. And anyway, so yeah. So, but today we're going to talk about how hungry are you for the Word of God? And does being in the Lord's presence get you as excited and anticipation and, yeah, as all of these foods do? There's the challenge. Okay, let's pray. No, just kidding. Okay, so I just wanted to say a little disclaimer, because we've been studying in our Ladies Bible Study about getting into God's presence and studying the Word, and just how when we are in God's presence, He just truly, when we totally give our agenda to God, He really somehow just makes our day go in control and in a good way. And so when I say disclaimer, we were talking about this in Ladies Bible Study last week, and I said to them, ladies, when I get up to preach, I just want you to know that this message has been on my heart for weeks, and I'm not picking on anybody who's been sharing in the morning that they haven't been getting into the Word as much as they should or whatever, so I'm not like pointing anybody out and saying this message is for you. This is really truly for all of us, and it is something that just God has dealt with me on so many occasions about my life and really truly making sure that my life is on His agenda and not on my own agenda, and taking time to get into His presence. And sometimes I think we forget how important it is. And we lose that hunger and that desire and that anticipation for His Word. Just like we, you know, we get excited to indulge in foods like this, and they bring us comfort. It's like, you know, for a woman, when I think of comfort, sitting with a warm, cozy blanket in front of a fireplace with a good chick flick. For a guy, it might be sitting in front of a TV with a bunch of your friends. I was going to say watching hockey, but meh, guess you can't do that. Watching football tonight after church. But God's Word brings us comfort. And He brings peace into our lives, just like the feelings that we get when we indulge in food in our for our physical body. God brings comfort and peace to our spiritual bodies. And I just thought, you know, and I know this isn't rocket science, but as much as our physical bodies need food, so do our spiritual bodies. And we all know that. We know that we need to fill our bodies spiritually. But the question is, do we? We all know that we should, but do we? And when we don't eat physically, we know what happens. Our body will slowly start to deteriorate. And when we don't feed ourselves in the Word and spending time with God and hungering and thirsting for the Lord and filling that up, we will slowly start to deteriorate spiritually as well. And I'm just going to read you a little portion of Scripture. This isn't my text, but I just want to just start with opening with this. And it's John 15, verse 5-8. It says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gather up and thrown into the fire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who He is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. So basically it's saying that if you want to be alive and see God work through you, you need to be part of His branch. You need to be part. He is the vine and we are the branches, the offshoots of that. And we need to be attached to that vine. We need to be attached to Jesus, to be able to be strengthened and have that comfort in our lives and that peace in our lives. So we're going to turn to Matthew 14, verse 22-32. And this verse is actually a verse that it's Jesus walking on the water. And actually, I wrote on my notes a little pun. I wrote it and then I thought, oh, that's funny. I wrote on my notes, so let's dive into the Word. And then I went, ah, talking about Jesus walking on water, you know, ha ha, come on. Okay, so Matthew 14, 22-32. Normally this chunk of Scripture with Peter getting out of the boat is usually used to challenge you as far as getting out of the boat, getting out of your comfort zone. But as I was studying this and kind of just asking the Lord, what is the scripture you want me to use? This came to my mind, and we're just going to kind of take a little different thought on that verse. So I'm going to read it through once, and then we're just going to go kind of just take a few points separately out of it. So starting at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by waves because of the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, and they thought it was a ghost. They said and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and was beginning to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So what I want to look at here is verse 22 to verse 23. It says, immediately Jesus went to be alone with his Father. It says that he went to be alone. You know, just underline that in your Bible and think, if Jesus thought it was important enough to take that time alone by himself and spend time with his Father, then certainly I think it needs to be important for us. We need to take that time. This is right after Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000, and they just had this big, awesome miracle and an awesome event. And you know, sometimes when God does something really, really cool in your lives and you're on a huge high, there can be a very quick downfall, you know, like you're on this humongous high and then life begins and you have to kind of start doing life and the normal way of life, and that high tends to kind of just almost bring you down. I know when we would have youth retreats and stuff like that, and the kids would come back pumped and excited from all that God did on the youth retreat, and then they come back to church and the music isn't as loud and there's not as many people, and it's, you know, it's kind of a little bit more of a sedate atmosphere than 2,000 teens in a crowd singing and dancing. And I can remember the youth really struggling with that and coming to this kind of like, you know, almost an ick place because they were on this huge high. And so here we have Jesus and his disciples that had this huge high moment. And immediately Jesus knew he needed to now go spend some time with his Father alone in prayer. And we certainly need to do that as well. We need to have quiet time with God. We need to just have those moments where we sit at his feet and we just spend time with him. And as the story goes on, we see that the winds became strong and the boat was rocking and it slowly got farther and farther away from the land. And the boat is rocking and going crazy because of the storm. And Jesus begins to walk out towards them, but he's walking on the water. And the disciples were afraid. And they were thinking, oh my gosh, it's a ghost. What could possibly be coming towards us that is walking on the water? And Jesus assures them that it was him. And the neat thing here is it says that Peter asks Jesus to invite him to come and walk on the water. He says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." And I know normally people would say, well, he stepped out of the boat and he stepped out of his comfort zone. And that is very true. He did do that. But I think the reason he did it was because he wanted all that Jesus had for him. He wanted to experience everything that Jesus wanted him to experience, that Jesus could allow him to experience. He was hungry for everything that Jesus had for him. He wanted to be able to do, you know, whatever it is that Jesus had for him. He's like, I'm there. I'm so there. I want it. You're walking on water. Jesus, I want to walk on water. I am so coming out of this boat because I am hungry and I want to be with you. You know that feeling we talked about with the food, when you crave that food, you smell it and you're like, oh, I just want that so bad. Like I told you my popcorn story. I could be as full as anything, but I want popcorn. Peter was like, I want everything that Jesus has, and if it means getting out of this boat and walking to him, I am going to do it. And so he did. He got out and he started walking to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, come. Just come. And the neat thing is that he did this with Jesus. He didn't just walk out on the boat alone. He did it because he was hungry for all that Jesus had for him, but he did it knowing that he was going to do this journey with Jesus. He did this with Jesus, not completely alone. We can't do the impossible without Jesus. Jesus let Peter do the impossible. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to walk on water. I have. Just for fun. See what would happen. But I can't do it without Jesus, okay? I couldn't do the impossible without Jesus. I couldn't stand here this morning and preach to you and say anything that is remotely worthwhile to listen to without Jesus. I couldn't do it. It's absolutely impossible. We couldn't have 120 women coming to a Christmas tea if it wasn't for Jesus. When we lean on Jesus and when we rely on him, when we are hungry and crave him to move in our lives, he will accomplish the impossible in our lives. But what happens when we don't? Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind, Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out to the Lord, save me. So as I read this, I see that it is saying that when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we will begin to sink. We will begin to not have that peace, not have that comfort, not have that assurance in our lives. And by taking our eyes off of Jesus, I don't mean that we begin to walk away from Jesus. I don't mean that we begin a life of backsliding against Jesus. We can be Christians and coming to church and fellowshipping with one another and enjoying each other's company, but not have our eyes on Jesus. Not having our eyes on Jesus all the time. Some of us come to church, and this is the only time in the week that we have our eyes on Jesus. We walk into those doors, we sing some songs, we hear a message, and that's all we have. Through the course of the week, we don't hunger and thirst after him. We hunger and thirst for other things. We hunger and thirst for food like this. We hunger and thirst for time on the computer, for the television, for going to theaters, being busy, but we don't hunger and thirst for Jesus on a regular basis. We come to church, we get a little bit of food, and we go home. By not making Jesus a priority in our lives, by not hungering for him, we're not craving for him, we're not desiring him. We need to do that. We need to make Jesus absolute priority. And I understand that lives are busy, and we talk about this in our Tuesday morning group because we have a lot of young moms. And finding that time can be difficult, especially when you're a young mom and you have children running around, and I understand that lives are busy. But it's finding that moment that you can just have each and every day where you have that chance to just give God your time, your agenda, and say, God, you do what you need to do in the course of my day. Before you get out of bed, whatever your time is, we need to hunger after him. We need to crave him. We need to desire him. And I wrote here, we even, you know, when we have food, we hunger and we crave for food and we desire it. And sometimes we even dream about it, I wrote, because I had this weird dream. I was watching this commercial. Have you guys seen that commercial where the little boy has got the chocolates? I don't know what box of chocolates it is. It's like the first box of chocolates for the Christmas season. He's handing them out to everybody in the room. Have you seen that commercial? And I was watching that commercial the other day, and all of a sudden I have this flash. Do you ever have a flash of a dream that just kind of randomly comes back to you? And it was a dream about Natasha had this huge box of chocolate truffles. And Natasha doesn't eat truffles. She's not into that at all. And they were dark chocolate. So I text her on my phone, and I'm like, did I dream this, or did you get a box of truffles that you didn't want? Because if you don't want them, I'll take them. And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Mom. And I'm like, okay, I guess I dreamt that. So sometimes we dream of food. But do we dream about spending time with God? Do we crave that so strongly that it is in our subconscious that we want to spend that time with him? When our lives are not focused on Jesus, we will not be as strong, as confident, and assured in our daily lives. Our spiritual lives will be weak. Just as our physical bodies will be weak when we don't eat, our spiritual bodies need spiritual food as well. And so Peter began to look at his surroundings and his situation, and he became fearful. And that's what happens to us when we take our eyes off the Lord. We become fearful. Some of us have situations in our lives that are maybe small, and sometimes maybe they're big. But what is our first reaction when it comes to us? How do we respond? Is it instantly fear, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, woe is me, my life is over, I'm just going to be here in this lowly point? Or do we automatically think, God's going to get me through this? I know he will. I know Jesus will get me through this. He's still in control. When our spiritual bodies are fed and nourished enough, when the waves hit and we begin to sink, our eyes automatically go to Jesus. But sometimes when we don't, we just end up sitting there and having almost like a pity party. And as I was going through my notes, I thought of this song by Ron Canole, and it's an older worship song, and maybe you know it, maybe you don't, but he used to sing this song, and he talked about, when I'm going through a hard time, when I have problems arise, when something hits me, he says, the song goes, I'm going through, I'm going through, I'm going through, I'm going through. So what he's saying is basically he is going to go through that situation hanging on to the shirt tail of Jesus, and he's going to get to the other side. But how many of us just remain and we don't continue to feed our spiritual body, and we just remain in that ick point, and we don't reach out to God? We don't really take time. We just say, woe is me. But in verse 30, it says that Peter cried out and he said, Lord, save me. He was hungry for God. He stepped out of that boat because he was so hungry for everything that Jesus had. And he went, and when he started to kind of get a little bit fearful, right away he said, Lord, help me. That was his first response. He didn't just start sinking and go, oh, there you go. It's impossible for me to do this. Here I go. Now I'm sinking in the water. He didn't do that. His immediate response was, Jesus, save me. Help me through this. What is our initial response when we go through things? Are we in a close, tight relationship with Jesus that we are constantly in communion with him, that when we get hit with something, it doesn't faze us? I have just really been able to experience lately different things that in the course of my ministry walking with the Lord lately, where just some stuff has come up to try to come against me. And I just can stand here in awe that when those situations happen, it's like water off a duck's back. I'm just like, God, I know who I am in you. I'm confident in you, and I will not allow those things to come in. Even, you know, like with stuff going on right now with my school and with ministry and work, when I start my day, my week on a Monday, and there can be sometimes a few moments where I kind of get a little bit anxious and overwhelmed at what has to be accomplished this week. And my instant response is, Lord, save me. Just like Peter said, Lord, help me. And somehow through the course of the week, it just day by day by day, I give each day to Jesus. And by the end of the week, I'm like, wow, everything that needed to be accomplished was done. I'm not stressed. I'm not freaking out. I'm not losing my mind. It's all done and I'm in control and I'm good. And that's a really awesome place to be. We need to be in that place where we are constantly seeking Him, so that when those situations come up, we know that Jesus is right there to help us. And I love in verse 31, it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And I love that word, immediately, because there wasn't any time in between. Sometimes when we take our eyes off of Jesus, it seems to be like we have to just really work and work and work to try to get back to him. You know when they say, when you don't feel God anymore, who moved? Because God doesn't move. God stays with you all the time. But if you allow yourself to slowly walk away from him, to step away from him, you've taken your eyes off of him, you're the one who's moved. And it's just that journey of having to come back to that place where you're in that tight-knit, close relationship with him. And here Peter says to God, says to Jesus, Lord, save me. And immediately, that's because his relationship was that close with Jesus. Immediately, Jesus was there. There was no like, oh, I have to come back to God. Oh, I need to work towards this. Oh, I need to... There was none of that. It was immediate because his relationship with Jesus was so tight. There wasn't any break in between. No time wasted. And I just, when I was doing this again, I was right away brought back to the story of Natasha and Josh when Natasha was pregnant with the twins. And you know this story. Some of you may not. I'll just very briefly share it again. When Natasha was pregnant with the twins, Natasha had some heart issues when she was a baby, and so they wanted to do an ultrasound on the twins to make sure that there was no heart issues with the babies. And they did an ultrasound on the one baby, and they got a horrific report. Basically, to make a long story short, the baby was not in good health and was probably very likely would die very shortly after birth. And so Natasha was alone, and the doctor told her, you should call your husband in, and we'll discuss this and figure out what we're going to do. And when Josh got to the hospital, immediately he put his hands on Natasha's belly and prayed, God, I will not accept this. This is your child, and we speak healing over this baby. Immediately. The doctor does the ultrasound on the other baby, and everything was fine. He said, let's go back and just recheck the first baby and just see, you know, we'll get a better prognosis and what we can do and everything. And there was nothing wrong with that baby. That baby was healthy. So they have an ultrasound from an hour ago that is proof that there was this horrific situation with the baby's heart. And then they have a second ultrasound afterwards where the baby is completely made whole. That is being in relationship with Jesus, close to him, so that the second you call out, there is no, oh God, help me. Sorry, I just have to get a drink. It was an immediate response, and Jesus answered immediately. He was there for them. Verse 32-33 says, "And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" Now here's the cool thing. Sorry. They climbed back into the boat. Now there's something between 31 and 32 that we don't really think about. This is the boat right here. And that's Jesus over there. And Peter walked on water towards Jesus, got scared for a second, started to sink, and Jesus caught him. Now the next verse says, then they got back into the boat. Boat's over there. How'd they get there? Peter didn't swim. It says they went back to the boat. Jesus and Peter walked together on the water back to the boat. Isn't that cool? They had to get back to the boat. And Jesus took his hand, walked with him together on water. Jesus will walk with us all the time. He will not move away from us. It's us who chooses to walk away from him. But to remain in that relationship with him, we need to spend time with God in the Word, spend time in prayer with him, not just on Sundays. Not just on Sundays. An hour and a half to 2 hours a week is not going to cut it. God challenged me personally in reading the Word. I would normally do a devotion before going to bed and then probably read some kind of a fictional book of some sort just to, because I have to shut my mind off sometimes. And God challenged me, why don't you read the Bible instead of reading those fictional books? Now again, this is just for me, and I'm not telling you to do this. This is just something that God challenged me personally with. So I got myself the Message Bible. It's nice and light, little paperback book. And that has become now my reading material before I go to bed. And it's been awesome. I was really just blown away and challenged and excited when Pastor Steve preached a few weeks ago and he said, you know, when we pray for the Holy Spirit to speak through us, the Holy Spirit will speak through us from only what is already within us. And when we don't have the Word in us, it's not just going to come out of nowhere. It has to be in us to come out. And I love that because I thought, you know, as much as I possibly can, fill myself with this Word is how much more I am going to be powerful and useful to God. The more I fill myself with His presence, the more impossible will be made possible in my relationship with Him. This isn't about legalism, and I really want to just kind of put that out to you right now. It's not about you have to read so much scripture every day, and you have to spend so much time in prayer every day, and you have to, it's not about have to. It's about what do you hunger for? As much as we hunger for this kind of food, how much do we hunger for God's presence? In one of my classes, we talked about devotion life and what works best for you. And what will work best for some won't work for others. And all my classmates were talking about, you know, getting up earlier in the morning and spending time with God and whatever, whatever. And I just kind of said, you know what, for me that doesn't work. I have a hard time getting up in the morning. And when I do get up in the morning, honestly, to sit there and read the word, I have a hard time. Because the second I get up in the morning, my mind is going on what needs to be accomplished that day. So as I'm reading the word, I'll be reading, but in my mind, I'm going, okay, I got to do a little laundry, and then I got to, you know, do this or cut this person's hair or do whatever, whatever. And so I have a really hard time focusing in the morning. So for me, what works for me personally is at night when I go to bed, because that is a time for me that I am quiet and I'm sitting and I am relaxed and I'm open to hearing God's voice. And for every single person, it's going to be different. And I'm going to pick on Josh and Tash again, sorry. But Natasha said to me the other day, and I just thought it was so cool, they started reading little Bible stories to the twins before they went to bed. And she said, Mom, we're actually getting stuff out of it. She said, is that bad? I'm like, no. It's what works for you in the moment in time in your life. You are sitting down together with your family and you're getting into God's word. Of course, it's written in a child version. That's okay. It's God's word. And that is what's working for you right now. And that's okay. When I was a young adult in hairdressing school, my Bible was a comic Bible. And I was kind of embarrassed about that at the time. But to read this just didn't work for me. It just didn't make sense. But when it was into nice colored pictures and little bubble words, I could read it. Find what works for you. Find the time that works for you. Find, you know, if it's driving in your car, whatever it is. Find what works for you. It's about building that relationship with Jesus so that you are hungry for him. That you want to get out of your boat and reach out to him and experience all that he has for you. And then when you get hit with something, he's right there immediately to help you. And then he walks back with you to your place of comfort, to that place that makes you feel at home. He comes back with you to that. And he walks with you. He stays with you. Last week, Pastor Steve talked about friendships. What kind of a friend are you to Jesus? What kind of a friendship do you have with God? Do you build that relationship stronger and stronger every day so that when the waves come, you're good? When those dry moments come, you're good. You just keep, you know, little by little, watering those dry moments with God. Or do you sink and do you cry out, God save me, and then not be in that relationship with him that you're able to just reach out right away because you've been so far away from him? There's power in the word. There's power in this word. It boggles my mind when I read it and I think how old this Bible is, you know, not this specific Bible, but the word and the stories that, you know, how old are these stories in the New Testament? How old are those stories? But they're always relevant. There's always something that you can get out of them. They are never outdated. It is always alive. There is power in this. Jesus took the time to be with God. He knew that it was important, and we need to too. Do you crave Jesus? Do you crave him as much as you crave a good pizza? Do you crave him as much as you crave, you know, Tim Hortons? Or is there things in your life that take precedence over that? More important than just spending a few moments in the Word, spending time with God.